Our reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse number 16. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye, and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
we have work to do. Neighbor,
we have
work to do.
Now
turn and point to somebody else, because just in case they didn't get it. And say, "Neighbor,
we have
work to do. Neighbor,
we have
work to do."
Amen.
Amen. We have, I have, you have work. Thank you, brother. To do. You see, when we look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, the way Matthew deals with Jesus' resurrection story and the interaction that takes place between the disciples and Jesus, Matthew's version of what took place is what I consider to be the no-frill version. He goes directly to the point. From verses 1 to 10 we looked at last week, you know, what do we do with good news? And from that scenario, we saw he didn't even talk about why Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to the tomb. He said they just wanted to go see Jesus. Yeah. No frills. And then once they got there, we saw that the earth shook and the angel descended from heaven, rolled away the stone. And we see that the gods that were there fainted. And as the gods fainted, we see that he sat on the stone and told them he is not here. He has been raised from the dead. Come on and take a look and see where he lay.
That's right.
And when they saw that, he said, "All right, now you go tell his disciples to go to Galilee. And when they get there, he'll meet them in that place."
Oh, yeah.
And then as they were on their way, I don't know, like I said last week, I don't know if they took 2 steps, 10 steps, 20 steps. But it says suddenly Jesus appeared. And once Jesus appeared, he had gave them a greeting. And once he gave them the greeting, what it tells us is that they fell down, grabbed him by the feet, and they began to worship him.
That's right.
And after they worshiped him, Jesus said to them, "Go tell my brothers." No, first he said, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee." That was verses 1 through 10. Then we know from 11 to 15, it deals with the situation about the guards being paid off to tell a lie. That's pretty much what took place. They paid them off to tell a lie. You know, thank God, Brother Freeman, folk don't pay people off today to tell no lie. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God folk ain't being paid off today to tell no lies. But that ain't the sermon. But let's go on a little further. But so what we saw in there was a blip from 11 to 15, which basically tells you what happened to the guards. And then he now picks the story back up here in verse number 16. Because what we see, God bless you, is that in verse number 16, we are told that the brothers got together and they started heading to Galilee. Now, Galilee from Jerusalem is at least 80 miles. And some say it's almost 100 miles. I'm not sure. But it's between 80 and 100 miles from Jerusalem to Galilee. And it tells us that when they got to the mountain in Galilee, what many folk are saying and many theologians believe is that the mountain that they met Jesus at is the same mountain of where Jesus was transfigured, where Peter, James, and John had the opportunity to see Jesus in his glory. And don't you know when they saw him in his glory, mm-hmm. that Peter was so in awe and so caught up in the moment. Mm-hmm. He said to Jesus, let me just go on and build 3 tabernacles for you, for Moses and Elijah, because where I am is just such a good place. I don't want to leave. I just want to hang out here because I'm having such a good time. And how it has touched me on the inside. I like the way I feel right now, and I don't want to lose it. Have you ever come to church and you felt so good while you were there? Yeah. You said, I like how I feel right now that I don't ever want to lose it. But if you are a child of God, I know you might have some rocky roads every now and then, but you got to remember, when I continue to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise, as I continue to give him my life and trust in him, I know he will see me through. I know he is going to bless me, because I know I am already blessed, because he has made a difference in my life. Do I got a witness in God's house? But let's go on. It tells us in verse 16, they were traveling. But Reverend Rhodes, if we could just stop and utilize our spiritual imagination for a minute. I can see some of the brothers not wanting to go. I can see some of the brothers thinking that we just wasting our time. But then again, it ain't a waste of my time. I'm going back home. I want to get out of Jerusalem anyway. And they killed Jesus, so now they want to try to kill me anyway. So Deacon Jones, I can see a couple of them mumbling as they're walking. Mm-hmm. Can't believe we're going back, but that's all right. I'm going home anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back into my old business and do what I used to do. Mm-hmm. You know, because they done killed Jesus, and I saw them take him off that cross from a distance. I wouldn't want to come close because they might have wanted to snatch me too. Mm-hmm. But I saw what they did to him. I saw him wrapped in the linen cloth. I saw them take him to the tomb. And when they took him, he had no life in his body. But what you're going to tell me is that he's resurrected. And we got to walk all the way to Galilee to see that he is resurrected. Mm-hmm. And it tells us in verse number 17. Look at it with me. It says in verse number 17, when they saw him. I'll say that one more time. When they saw him. What did they do, y'all? They worshipped him. Right? But then they hold on. Sister Rhodes, I'm trying to understand this point. It says in verse 17, mm-hmm. when they saw him, amen. They worshiped him. But some doubt. Mm-hmm. What is there left for doubt? Mm-hmm. He was dead. Mm-hmm. Now he's alive. Mm-hmm. You see him with your own 2 eyes. Mm-hmm. But still you have. Deacon Clark, before we start messing with folk, we got to understand something. How many of us are sitting in church right now worshiping and praising God, but still we have. Yeah. How many of us say the Lord is the head of my life, but still we have. Yeah. The Lord will supply all of my needs, but still we have. Yeah. You see, we have to recognize and understand something. We have to recognize and understand something, my brothers and sisters. That the reality is that God wants us to understand. Mm-hmm. And you know what he wants us to understand? Even though there are so many folk around me worshiping and praising me, there are still some folk that have some. Yeah. Now, I know we get frustrated when we see this in today, because you say the evidence is all around us. We are seeing folk who were sick who have now been healed. You're seeing folk who had problems and now they've been fixed. We're seeing the Lord opening doors that have been closed. We're seeing the Lord moving in this place like he's never moved before. But still, since the feast, some folk have. Yeah. How can there still be doubts when the evidence is there to cause us truly to worship God? Because it's right here in Scripture. But you know why some of them had doubts? Because in their mind, they were not expecting him to be there. And since they weren't expecting him to be there, then you know what the reality is? The reality is this. Some folk just can't handle Are you working with me? Some folk just can't handle the truth. Because what they are thinking is that this is just too good. You see, sometimes we have doubted so much, or we're just so used to so much negativity. Mm-hmm. When something good come along, we can't even appreciate it because we got too much negativity. We got to move out the way in order to appreciate what has happened that was good for us. Mm-hmm. Somebody can come dressed up and look real nice. You say to them, yeah, you know, you look real nice. Yeah, I know this is a nice outfit, but you know what? I had a problem with this over here. Mm-hmm. I ain't asked you all that. The jacket still ain't fitting the way I wanted to fit. Or the skirt was just a little too low. I wanted it a little higher. If folk can see the good, then why is it hard for us to see the good for ourselves? You know, when I was studying this, y'all, and as I was looking at this, you know, I read it. It said that they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some who did they think was standing there? Can we just be real for a second? Who was standing there then? It was Jesus. So if Jesus was standing there, why would you have any other doubts? It just goes to show you something. That in our minds, because this is where it is, you see, physically they could see the truth, but what they didn't know how to do was to embrace it. There are folk even today, they can see all the good that is happening, but they just don't know how to embrace it. And since they don't know how to embrace it, then Nicole, they got a doubt. Are we looking at this, y'all? You see, because of the fact that the one thing that we ought to be about, whenever we see the Lord moving around us, the one thing that we ought to be are a people who are doing what? Worshiping the Lord. And we are worshiping the Lord because we know that we wouldn't be where we are if it had not been for Jesus. Right. We couldn't have what we have if it had not been for Jesus. Right, we wouldn't have gotten healed if it had not been for Jesus. Amen. We were bound by sin and we were freed if it had not been for Jesus. Don't you know some folk gave up on us a long time ago? But if it had not been for Jesus, where in the world would we be? When you think about all that the Lord has brought you through, when you think about all that he is doing and through in you and around you, there's no way that any child of God can ever come to church and just sit down and say, I ain't got to praise him. I ain't got nothing to praise God for. He ain't done nothing for me. And I say to them, very easy, can you lift your hand? Can you see me wiggle my fingers? Do you hear me talking to you right now? Can you see the lights in this place? Are you able to turn your head? Are you able to stand up? Are you able to stop your foot? Are you able to wiggle your toes? Are you able to still breathe? Then are you able to still smell? Then don't you know if it had not been for the Lord, you couldn't do none of that stuff? So you going to tell me you ain't got nothing to praise God? So I want you to understand, as the people of God, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we ain't going to doubt no more. You see, I understand that we got to break through some of the negativity that has been suffocating you. But what I'm telling you right now is that we have now resuscitated you. And we're going to break down the walls of all that negativity. Because what you got to learn how to do is appreciate all the Lord is doing around you. They couldn't doubt that they saw him, but they just couldn't embrace it because there was so much negativity. Build up. Amen. The walls of negativity were built up so high because they saw how the Sanhedrin had done. They saw how the Roman gods had done. So much negativity has built up that it's hard for them to see the forest because the trees are in the way.
I know.
Are you following me?
Amen.
So all Jesus came to do for us, y'all, was tear down the walls of negativity. Mm-hmm. Tear down the walls of doubt. Tear down the walls of the things that have been binding us. And what we have to do is give the Lord our full and complete trust. Because when we put our trust in the Lord, I want you to know he ain't going to let you down. When you put your trust in the Lord, he will see you through. When you put your trust in the Lord, he will make a way out of no way. When you put your trust in the Lord, won't he do something good for you? Do I got a witness in God's house? All we got to learn to do is put our trust in the Lord. And when we put our trust in the Lord, I want you to know he will make a way out of no way. So all we got to do is say, Lord, I trust you. And when we say to the Lord, we trust him, the next thing we begin to do is worship him. Because we understand that I couldn't do nothing unless the Lord had blessed me. So that's why we got to worship him. Because he has brought us all a mighty long way. And don't you know that he has been better to us than we have been to ourselves. When we think about that, he's blessed us with stuff that we didn't deserve. He kept stuff from us that we did deserve. And you mean to tell me we can't give him the glory, the honor, and the praise? The people of God ought to be willing to worship God. Yeah. Now let's go a little further. Stay there a little longer than I wanted, but it's all good. You see, what we're about to look at now is what is called the Great Commission. Right? But when Jesus looked around, he knew some doubted. Isn't that amazing? But you know the one thing I love about our God? He still accents the positive.
Thank you, man.
And he doesn't focus on the negative.
Yeah.
He still sees the opportunity.
Yes.
In the midst of the obstacle.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow, I guess that just came out of nowhere, huh? You see, when you understand that no matter how many obstacles you face, God still has an opportunity.
Yes,
then you have to give attention to the opportunity and not give attention to the obstacle. Because whatever gets your attention, that's what you're going to spend the most time on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see, and as a child of God, we ought to spend our most of our time on the opportunity. Because we understand the obstacles are there, but we're going to focus on the what? Opportunity. So what the Lord is letting them know, he's letting them know who are excited about seeing him. He's letting them know that have some doubts. He says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth. Do you see this? Has been given to me. You see, I want you to understand, he's letting his disciples know he had all authority. Some translations say power. So I want you to understand that we serve a God who has the authority. And since we are his children, that means that we are also given the what? Authority. We have the power and the ability to overcome the negative that's all around us. We have the power and the authority to go and do things we thought we couldn't do. We have the power and the authority to speak life to what might seem to be dead. We have the power and the authority to look at stuff and say, Lord, I put my trust in you. I know you're going to make a way. I know you're going to step in. We have the power and the authority to go to hospitals and pray for folk who are sick, and God will make them whole again. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got to understand that as the people of God, we have power and authority.
Amen. All
right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, Lord, I'm just shuffling along. I'm going to get there somehow. Maybe one day. Don't you know how we speak is how we live? I'm going to say that one more time. Don't you know how we speak is how we live? So if you think you might, then you live a life that you might. When you know you are a child of God, and the Lord said he will make a way out of no way, then I'm going to speak the possibilities. I'm going to speak life to the situation. I'm going to speak the opportunity to the situation. Because I truly believe that God will make a way. You see, now when I talked about the garden a few weeks back, You know, I was like, ah, Lord, I don't know if we should do that. But he just wouldn't let me let it go. Nah, go on and talk about it. It is something that's just going to be good to just do something different. Just let people see. No, he just said, he wouldn't let me let it go. So I came and I said, well, if we got a few folk who can. Anybody interested? Because I said, I had an epiphany. I had a vision. I had God show me something. And then all of a sudden, now I look outside, the ground has been broke. You see, if we don't speak it, then how can it exist? And if you are looking for that new job, if you don't speak it, how can it exist? If you're looking for healing, if you don't speak it, how can it exist? You're having some financial difficulties right now. Lord, I believe that you're going to fix it. Mm-hmm. And Lord, help me to be better with my money. I'm going to speak it. Yeah. And then I know it will exist. Yeah. My husband acting like he ain't got good sense. But Lord, I'm thanking you for how you're going to fix him. If you don't speak it. Amen. My children ain't acting right, Lord. Amen. But I'm going to speak it. Amen. Into existence. Amen. That you're going to fix them.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So what is that telling us? We got the power. Amen. Y'all got the first thing? Then the second thing he says to them, go. In chapter 19, go. Therefore, make disciples of a few nations. Certain folk. The one that I like. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Do you see that? So what Jesus, again, I told y'all, Matthew is using a no-frills approach. In essence, what Matthew is telling us is that the gospel is for everybody. It ain't just for the Jews. It ain't just for the Gentiles.
All right.
It's for everybody.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's why they are to go to all nations and make disciples in all nations. Because now what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who is a student that wants to learn more about Jesus Christ. What is a disciple? Somebody who embraces the Lord and wants to know more and more and more because they want to live their lives in the sight of God that is pleasing because they recognize that they've come this far because the Lord has blessed them. And once they realize that they needed Jesus, they look at what their lives were like before him. And now that they have Jesus, they ain't looking back no more. They just pressing on ahead because they understand that they are now disciples of Christ. And that's what all of us in here are. And we are, if we aren't, that's what we need to be. We ought to be disciples of Christ. We ought to have a hunger for Christ. We want to learn more and more about Christ. Right. And we can't learn more and more about Christ sitting at home watching Empire on Wednesday.
Bring it home, Pat.
You see, I understand. You know, listen, God doesn't mind us being entertained and doing stuff. But are we more concerned about being entertained than we are about being a disciple of Christ?
Right.
You see, and the thing is, where does the Lord lie in your life?
Right.
Is he one or another number? You see, now I can't make you, I mean, that's your decision on where that goes. But based on that, what we are called to do, my brothers and sisters, we are called to go and make disciples of all nations. Amen. You know, and I just thank God that as a church right now, we are multicultural.
Amen.
And then if y'all noticed that when we had our church anniversary, we had some multicultural food up in here. Amen. It was good too. Amen. I ate it. I don't know about you. But that's nobody but God, because we are to go to all nations.
Amen.
To make disciples. And once we make disciples, then we baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You see, baptism is what we are to do. Once we embrace Christ, the next step is to be baptized. Because what we're letting folk know, that I want you to know that there's been an outward change that's taking place on the inside. So I'm just showing all y'all what God has done for me. And I am now a disciple of Christ. Because now you go down and you get dipped in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Because you recognize and realize that the Lord, I want you to be the head of my life. So once we get this right, we recognize that we are going to make disciples because we have the power. And then we're going to baptize them because we have the power. And then we're going to teach them everything that the Lord has commanded.
That's right. That's right.
We don't know because we don't come. I'll let that one sink in. Can't get it all on Sunday morning, y'all. This is a part of it. Amen. But you can't get it all on Sunday morning. You got to come out to Bible study. You got to come out to Sunday school. Because as you do, that's how you get even more of it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, imagine somebody take you to dinner. And when they take you to dinner, all they do is just say, go on and don't order nothing off of there. Just get you a piece of meat and that's it. Some folk might be fine with that. To salad, but a lot of folks tell my women, I like them appetizers they got up on there. I want some salad. And I think they got some good bread up in this place too. I like the vegetables and I like this and I like that. But all you're telling me is that all I'm going to get is just a piece of meat? What if I don't like meat? Are you following me? You see, as a Christian, we never want to put ourselves in a situation to where we are limiting our ability to grow. Don't you know that the only thing that can stymie our growth is us? Don't you know that you're responsible for your own spiritual growth? And since you are responsible for it, when you come out to Bible study, if the pastor ain't teaching nothing, then guess what? Get a new pastor. Amen? Because if he ain't teaching nothing on Wednesday, Lord knows he ain't preaching nothing on Sunday. And I reiterate, not just he, because it could be a she. Amen? So we have to understand that if the word of God is being preached on Sunday, the word of God is being taught on Wednesday, you ought to be up in that place either at 11:30 or at 7:30. But you make it your business. Why? Because we have work
to do.
All right.
Come on now.
What is our work? Our work is to make disciples. Our work is to get folk baptized. Our work is to get them, to teach them the word of God. But you know what? We have to get this Chester. You know what we got to get? Some folk are apprehensive going to the unknown. It's with the unknown that makes folk to become apprehensive because they don't know what's behind that door. But the one thing that Jesus says here, after he tells them, I'm giving you the power because I have it. I want you to make disciples. I want you to get them baptized. I want you to teach. And then he ends it in verse number 20. He says, and remember. Oh, I get excited when I see this. He says, and remember. He says, I am. I am with you. With you. Always. To the end of the age. So what is that telling us? God is always present with us. You know, since the Lord is present with us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art what? With me. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? You see, my brothers and my sisters, we ain't got to be concerned what's behind the door. Because we know who's with us as we're going through the door. And since we know that we have a Lord who is with us, tell me where we're going to go and we're going to be by ourselves. The Lord's going to be with us wherever we go. So I want you to understand something. We got work. So since we know we got work to do, we ain't doing it by ourselves. Amen. The I am is with us. And his name is
Jesus.
So if you go down the highways and the byways, I am is with you. If you go to the mall, I am is with you.
Yeah.
If you go to the supermarket, I am is with you.
Yeah.
When you're at home, I am is with you.
Yeah.
When you're in church, I am is with you.
Oh,
so I don't care where you are,
thank
I
you.
Am is with you.
Yeah.
And his name is
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You see, my brothers and sisters, we got work to do. You know, and I got this because I always look at when Reverend Rose leads us in morning worship. And he says to us, do we have any visitors here with us? And on those Sundays we don't. Then Reverend Rose says, we still have work to do. So I took your whole statement, but took the steel out, bro. I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest with you. You see, I want us to know, y'all, that change only happens when the people of God recognize that we have
work to do.
And since we know we got work to do, we ain't got to be afraid of that work because God has given us the authority
Amen.
And the power.
Thank you, Lord.
And when we do the Lord's
Hallelujah.
Work, we're going to make disciples from
yes.
all peoples.
Yes.
And as we do that, the Lord wants us to baptize them. And as we do that, then we're going to what? Teach them.
Yes.
And no matter what is going on, we're going to always remember we are not alone.
Amen.
The Lord is with us.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is, he doesn't say, I will be there.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'm already.
Always.
You see, and that's the one thing that we ought to be excited about.
Yeah.
Don't you know that we serve a God who is I am?
Yeah.
So no matter where I am, the Lord is right there with me.
Yeah.
Don't you know that I am in church right
Hallelujah.
Now? So the Lord is here with me.
Yeah.
When I get in my car, I am is with me there.
Yeah.
You see, when I think about wherever I go, the Lord is with me.
Yeah.
That's also telling me, Brother Lionel, that he's watching over
Thank
me.
You, Lord.
He's going to bless me.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to keep me. Do I got a witness in God's house?
Yeah.
Is the Lord been good to us?
Yeah.
I thank him for his presence. I thank him for his blessings. I thank him for taking me from one day to the next.
Yeah.
Because he is a mighty good God. Do I got a witness in God's house? Is our God a good God? Is he worthy of our praise? I am is with us. I am is blessing us. I am will never leave us. Oh, bless his name. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And since we know all of this, don't sit down because we get ready to open the door to the church. Since we know all of this, Sister Preacher, we know for a fact we got work to do. Because we got work to do because didn't somebody work to save us?
Amen.
You see, when you know the Lord has done something for you,
well,
what we are doing when we're going out is that we are, you use this term, paying it forward. Because since we know God has been good to us, we want somebody else to know he'll be good to them. So we are paying it forward. Because we understand that the Lord has been blessing us and we want to be a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah.
We recognize that the Lord has made a difference in our lives.
Yeah.
So that's why we are called to be what? Difference makers. Because we understand that if it had not been for the Lord, nothing, Sister White, would be different in my life. But now that I have Jesus, don't you know, ain't nothing the same. Everything is different because I serve the difference maker.
Yeah.
And since I serve the difference maker, I realize that I am a difference maker,
Man.
Which in turn tells me I have work to
do.
Let us all rise to our feet, please. You see, my brothers and sisters, we have work to do collectively. But before we can see it collectively, we must first see it for ourselves. Because I heard Violet up here while we were doing it, when I had the second go around and told you to point at your neighbor. Violet pointed at them and said, I got work to do. But you know what it's all about? Y'all know, hear this clearly. It's about owning it. Because if you don't own it, then it don't mean nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We got to own this. Because don't you know Jesus paid it all? He owned everything he did for us. So what he wants us to do is own our relationship with him. And realizing that he has our best interests at heart. So what we got to do is make it our business to own it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I have work
to do.